And as we think about Jesus' interaction with both of these characters, we're reminded of this very, very simple truth, but one we've got to be always brought to the fore, and that is the ground at the foot of the cross is all level. When we come to Jesus, we all come the same way. And when we come to that point where we realize that we are a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, there is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you've been raised in the church, if you know all the stories in the Bible, if your parents were Christians, your grandparents were Christian. I mean, it doesn't work that way. We all come the same way. And so when we look around and we recognize that the way that God has worked in everybody's story is unique. Everybody's story is different. Everybody's story is special. And you're coming to Jesus Christ, you came the same way as all the other people have come. And that ground, the cross is the great equalizer. And it reminds us that I'm not any better than you, and you're not any better than me. You're not any better or worse than the people sitting behind you, in front of you, or beside you. We all come to Jesus the same way. Jesus Christ welcomes all who come to him. And that ground is level to all. Number two, religious hypocrites offer only selective wisdom with judgment. Religious hypocrites offer only selective welcome with judgment. It's fascinating. So this, as this story plays out, and as the woman is anointing and kissing the feet of Jesus, anointing with the ointment, the Pharisee sees this, and he says to himself, if this man were a prophet, so he's having this internal dialogue, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Big mistake, number one, okay? Don't ever say, God, show me something, teach me something, help me with something, if you're not ready for the answer, okay? That was free. That had nothing to do with the message, okay? But he says, say it, teacher. And so Jesus says, well, thank you very much. And he goes on. He gives this illustration. He gives this story. And then he turns. I love this in verse 44. Then turning toward the woman, he says to Simon. So I kind of have this picture in my mind. There's Simon and there's the woman. He turns to the woman and says to Simon. So he's not looking at Simon when he talks to him. He's looking at the woman and talking to Simon. And he says, do you see this woman? Now, isn't that a strange question to ask? Because we already know that the Pharisee has seen the woman because he's bothered by the fact that she invited herself over to his house and is kind of making a scene here with Jesus. And he's, you know, having this internal dialogue about what sort of woman this is. So why would Jesus ask, do you see this woman, when we know he has seen this woman? It's because he sees her, but doesn't see her. Does this make sense? He saw her, but didn't see her. He saw what she was. He saw what she represented. He made that quick, snap, negative assessment based on what he knew her life was like, and had dismissed her, and Jesus saw her. Really, really saw her. And man, I am challenged for us to remember that we are seeing people all the time. We are seeing people we're seeing people when we're dropping off our kids in children's ministry. We're seeing people when we're getting coffee. We're seeing people when we're walking around the Connection Center. We're seeing people. But are we seeing people? That's the burden of my heart. Is that we would see people. Because this Pharisee saw her, but didn't see her. We need to pray for eyes to see. Matt, walk out of this place today saying, God, give me eyes to see. Help me not just to see people, help me to see people. Are you familiar with the song from Brandon Heath? Give me your eyes. I love this song. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Man, may that be the prayer of our heart today. There are people in this room who need to be seen. There are people at your job that need to be seen. There are people on your kids' sports team, their parents in the stands, and they need to be seen. Not given a quick negative assessment based on whatever criteria you've put up for them, but to see them the way God sees them, to see them the way Jesus saw this woman. He didn't see all those external traps. He saw someone who needed him. He saw someone who needed grace. He saw someone who needed forgiveness. And may God give us those same eyes to see. Number three, forgiven sinners are broken over their own need for Christ's welcome. Forgiven sinners are broken over their own need for Christ's welcome. I love what it says there in verse 47. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. God wasn't glossing over it. God wasn't saying, it's okay. Look, yeah, they're sin, and they're many, but they are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And man, when we come to the reality of what it means to be truly forgiven, and we come to grips with our own brokenness and the gratitude that we have for the welcome that we have received from Christ, how can we not reciprocate that welcome to other people? Maybe one of the reasons we are not as welcoming as we ought be, that we are judgmental, is because we have lost a sense of our own brokenness, and we've lost a sense of the forgiveness that we were given when we turned to Jesus for our salvation. May we be a people who are always connected to the brokenness of their own life and the welcome that we receive from Christ, and turn that and extend that same welcome to others. You know, as I think about my life, friends, I am nothing without the forgiveness of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Nothing. All the blessings that I've enjoyed throughout my life are all directly connected to the brokenness of my life and the forgiveness that was given to me. Okay? I was saved at 6. Okay? I don't have a testimony where I was saved out of all sorts of, you know, stuff that other testimonies have. But I am just as broken over what I could have become without Jesus in my life. I guarantee I wouldn't be on this platform. I guarantee I wouldn't be married to the woman that God has blessed me with and have the family that I'm blessed with. I have all of these things because of God's blessing upon my life, because of the forgiveness that was offered to me by God through Jesus Christ. And we need to stay in touch. We need to stay connected with our brokenness, because those who feel they are forgiven little will love little. And when we remember that we have been forgiven much, we will love much. So what do we do? I mean, what do we do when we're confronted with situations where we have to make evaluations, we have to make assessments, we have to make judgments, if you will? How can we filter what the Bible is saying here with other parts of Scripture that talk about having godly discernment and looking at various situations? And a lot of teaching in the New Testament even about following spiritual leaders. You know, try them. Make sure that you're following those that are true to the gospel, true to the faith. He's asking them to make a judgment. He's asking them to make an assessment, evaluation. We do that all the time in our real life. We make assessments and evaluations about, you know, staff people and, you know who's going to serve in children's ministry. And, you know, we've got to do those things. So how do we do it in a way that filters what we're teaching here this morning about being connected and reminded of our own brokenness and being grateful for the forgiveness? Let me share a couple things with you. Turn back just a page to chapter 6. Bible talks a bit about this. Verse number 37, it says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." There's some kind of connection, and I don't quite understand it all fully. There's some kind of connection to what we extend with what we are going to receive. And I don't know how God sorts all that out, but there is, and the Bible talks about this in other places and in other ways, where there's this linkage. But then he goes on, he tells them a parable, the speck and the log. And then look at verse number 43, a tree and its fruit. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Elsewhere it says, by their fruits ye shall know them. What are you doing in that moment? You're evaluating, you're assessing the fruit of someone and making a judgment about them. So how do we, we always try to keep it real. So how do we process that based on everything else that we're talking about? Well, let me share just a few things with you. And you've got some scriptures in your bulletin that we're not going to get to this morning, but you can look them up later. About when, what don't judge means, okay? First off, never judge broadly. You know, we say things like, they do this all the time, and it's always this way, and it's never going to change, and it's, everybody's doing it, and, just all this, very broad, just don't do that, okay? Don't do it in a broad sense, because that's just not realistic. Never judge motives. This is a huge one. Because we love to do this. We love to figure out what's going on in someone else's mind and someone else's heart. And then we evaluate their behavior based on what we think they're thinking. And then we react to what they're doing based upon what we think they're thinking. And we expend all this emotional and mental and spiritual energy because we're so fixated on the motives of other people. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop trying to figure out other people's motives. And simply try to understand where they might be coming from. This happens all the time, You'll see somebody in church, and we just make these quick. And that's actually the next one. Never judge quickly. We make these snap judgments. We make these immediate judgments. And look, I'm always telling our staff, our leaders, you can only make a first impression one time. So first impressions matter. We need to do our very best to put our best foot forward. We need to do these types of things. But look, we're making judgments all the time. I say hi to somebody, and they don't look me in the eye. They don't say hi back to me. Well, what's wrong with them? And we put them on this list in our brain that says, that person is, they're stuck on themselves and they don't want anything to do with me and da 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 da. And we don't know. They may have been trying to work with their kids or distracted by something else or just didn't even hear what was going on. We make these snap, quick judgments. Stop doing that. Let's not do that. Let's get to know people. Let's engage people. Let's give people, dare I say it, the benefit of the doubt. And let's do all that we can to represent Jesus well in our interactions with people. Never judge quickly. And then lastly, never judge harshly. And that goes back to that Luke 6 passage. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And again, just continue to be reminded of your own brokenness. Continue to be reminded of how God has forgiven you. And just be gracious. Be gracious with people as opposed to being harsh with people. So forgiven sinners are broken over their own need for Christ's welcome. And lastly, and this is our closing, are we like Jesus, welcoming without judgment all who come to our church? That's the bottom line question. Are we like Jesus? Does my life and does our church reflect what Jesus is doing here with both the Pharisee and the woman of the city? And we're welcoming without judgment all who come to our church. We become the judgmental Pharisee as we forget that we are the sinful woman. We are all the sinful woman. Every person in this building, every person who's a part of this church, every one of us is the sinful woman. And when we forget that, we can drift into this territory where we become the judgmental Pharisee. And heaven forbid that would happen in my life, in your lives, and in the life of our church. I'm going to close with an illustration. And I pulled this out last night, and I had to assure the people that I was not checking the score of the Cubs game when I did this. They're like, PG's checking out the Cubs score. I did not do that. I did not do that. But I wanted to close with this illustration, bring it back to our movie weekend and director Dallas Jenkins being here. As Dallas mentioned last week, and if you missed it, both services are on the app, on the podcast. You can check out all that Dallas had to say. It was just incredibly powerful and impactful as he talked about the resurrection of Gavin Stone representing his worst career professional failure of his career. And yet the way that God has used this film and how he's had to reassess the measure of success for this film, not in the numbers, the dollars at the box office, but by the way it's impacted people. And several weeks ago, he posted something on his Facebook page, a letter that he received, and it garnered a lot of comment and a lot of reaction, and I want to read it with you. We've got it up here on the screen, but it may be too small for you to read, so let me read it for you. He's obviously blacked out the name and the email and the specifics, so the person can't be identified. But they wrote this. This is probably not the place to do this, but I wanted to thank you for the movie The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. I am such and such years old, accepted Christ at 18, go to church every week, and yet this movie touched me deeply. I don't tend to watch Christian films. They seem cheesy to me. Sorry. I watched this one because Brett Dalton was in it, and I enjoy him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, so right now we're on the same wavelength. I watched this movie and I cried. I don't cry at movies, ever, really. The next morning I watched it again and cried again. I repeated this for about a week. Somehow this movie helped me to not give up and walk away from church or God. I am a transgender male. And honestly, society says I am not worth it. This movie helped me to turn more to God, to read scripture, and to truly worship him. I have gained a deeper appreciation for God, his love for us as his children, and in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I wanted to send you this late night message to tell you that what you did is worth it because it helped at least one person more than you could ever know. It helped me. Thank you again. Now let me tell you, when I first read that, the wires in my brain were going six ways from Sunday. I had all sorts of thoughts and emotions and pre-programmed responses to this person's story. And as I prayed over it and I thought over it and I read the comments and his caption for this, he just wrote one caption for this post, was, "This wrecked me." And as I continued to pray over it and process it, I came to this conclusion. This wrecked me. Because I thought to myself, what is this? What if this person lives in Yuba City? And what if this person walked through the doors of Adventure Church of Yuba City? Would this person be welcomed without judgment? And I was continually reminded of what we said earlier, of God, give us eyes to see people for where they are, and that is in need of Jesus. And that's it. And that's it. God, you're going to judge. Holy Spirit, you're going to convict. I'm going to love. I'm going to love every single person who walks through this door. Say, Pastor Greg, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. You know what? It makes me a little bit uncomfortable too. We better get used to a little discomfort. We just better get used to it. If we want to be an engaged, salt and light, hands and feet, body of believers in this community and in this world, we better get used to a little discomfort and figure out a way to be 100% truth and 100% grace and live in that tension and not allow the immediate negative assessment to rise to the fore without first making sure it goes through the filter both of Christ's welcome for all and my own brokenness of what I have been forgiven from. And you say, why? Why should we do that? My answer is very simply, because this is what we do. This is what we do. Let's pray. Father, I can't believe I'm getting emotional after doing this three times. But Lord, you just continue to impress upon my heart the absolute necessity that we be a people who are welcoming to all, not compromising the truth, not compromising what the Bible says about our condition and your plan for us as people. But Lord, we are surrounded by people in need and we do not see them. So number one, I pray that you would forgive us. Just forgive us. Forgive us as individuals. Forgive us as a church if we have ever treated anyone less than the way you would treat them. Forgive us. And number two, Father, I just ask for your help. Lord, navigating the minefield of society and culture is exhausting. And living in the tension of 100% grace and 100% truth can be exhausting. And that's exactly where you've called us to be. And Father, we probably mess up more than we get it right. And so we need your help. We need your vision. We need you to give us eyes to see. So Father, help us. Help me. Help our staff. Help our leadership team. Help our volunteers. Help every single person who walks through these doors and calls this church their home church. Help us all to emulate the model given to us by Jesus, and that's to welcome all who come. Thank you for the time this morning, for last evening, the opportunities that we've had to gather today. We are so much better for it. And I pray, Lord, that even as we leave, even as we dismiss and pick up kids, and Lord, even now, may we be looking for opportunities to bless someone, to encourage someone, to extend a hand, to extend a smile. For certainly there are needs all around us. So bless us as we prepare to go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen.